God makes no mistakes. How many of you would agree? God makes no mistakes. That's right. And because you're born, there's a purpose for your life. He makes no mistakes. Check it out. I did. I looked through all the Bible dictionaries and concordances, and I have not yet found one instance where God ever says, whoops. That's not in there. He makes no mistake.
Well, if God makes no mistakes, and if he has a purpose for us being here, then it certainly makes sense that we should do our best to discover that purpose. Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope from New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu, pastored by Dr. Wayne Cordero. Today, Pastor Wayne is going to help us find out how to discover our purpose for being placed on earth, here and now. Here he is with a message entitled, You Only Go Around Once.
Well, you are a very important group of people here, and we're excited that you're here because we heard that one out of every three of you, scientists say, one out of every three people that come to a conference like this is a genius, brilliant, and among the most beautiful people in the world. Now we want to find out which one of those three would be that person. So if you turn to one on either side of you and see which one of you three it is. So would you check that one out on one side? Now look at the other and see. All right? Well, obviously, it's neither one of those. So it's you. You are one of the most brilliant people in the world. You. Each of you has a song to sing. Each of you has a dance to bring to the master's table. And he awaits your reply as he says, come, follow me. You are very special. And the fact that you were born tells me that God has a purpose for your life. If God didn't have a purpose for your life, you wouldn't have been born. But you were. God didn't have to put your spirit in that body and give that to you as a chance and an opportunity, but he did, and he had you born. One of my favorite theologians is a man named Dr. Seuss, and he has a great theological treatise that he put into a poem called Happy Birthday to Me, and I thought this was one of the best theological statements around. We should teach this in Bible colleges. And it goes like this. If you'd never been born, what would you be? You could have been a rock, a toad, or a tree. Or worse than all that, you could have been a wasn't. A wasn't just isn't present. But you are here. Now, isn't that pleasant? Today, you are you. And it's truer than true that there's no one alive that is youer than you. Shout out loud, I'm glad of who I am. Thank God I'm not a rock, a clam, or a hammer, a dusty old jar of boysenberry jam. I am what I am, and it's a great thing to be, if I should say so myself. Happy birthday to me. You see, if God wanted you to have been born at another time, he could have. If he didn't want you to have been born, he could have had that too. But he had you born. Now, isn't it true? If God wanted you to have been born in another nation right now, living in another place, he could have done that. But for those of you that are part of New Hope Christian Fellowship, God had you living here as contemporaries with one another. In fact, he could have had you in a different time. If he wanted you to have been born back in the BC days, you would have been born back then. But for some reason, on his time continuum, when he took you and had you born, if this were the beginning of time and this is when he's coming again, he would take you and he'd say, well, where do we have you to be born? Let's put you right here at the end. And you right here at the end too. Now, I don't know why, but God had us born in any nation, any state, any place, any time. He had us born and living as contemporaries right here at the end of time. These are the last days the Bible speaks about. Now, I don't know about you, but if you're running a relay in, say, high school, and the coach asks you to run anchor, what does that mean? It means you're supposed to be what? The fastest, right? And if your team is behind, you're supposed to what? Catch up, right? Well, for some reason, look around. You see, God asked you to run anchor. I don't know why. We could have been born in 50 BC. We could have been born in 30 AD, 100 AD. But for some reason, he put us way back here and asked us to run anchor. You're very special people. Now, God doesn't make any mistakes. He not only put us to run anchor, but of all the places on this globe, looks right here, Hawaii. Have you ever seen Hawaii on a globe? You can hardly find that place. All the years I was growing up, I thought Hawaii was up by Alaska because every map I saw, Hawaii was in a box up by Alaska. I couldn't figure it out. But in this teeny little place in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, for some reason, God had us living right here at this time as contemporaries. Now, I think that is a miracle. You see, God makes no mistakes. He doesn't just throw people at random. He doesn't just take you and just, okay, let's see where you land. Oh, okay, all right. No, God handpicks people and places us on his time continuum where he wants us for a determined purpose. God makes no mistakes. How many of you would agree? God makes no mistakes. That's right. He makes no mistakes. And because you're born, there's a purpose for your life. He makes no mistakes. Check it out. I did. I looked through all the Bible dictionaries and concordances, and I have not yet found one instance where God ever says, whoops. That's not in there. He makes no mistake. So God placed us right at the end. And in fact, it'll come up on the PowerPoint. He says in Acts 17:26, listen to this. It says, from one man he made every nation of men. Let's read it. From one man he made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. Acts 17:26. From the beginning of time, God knew where you were to be placed. Because as you just read, he's got a purpose for you. He determined the time that you were to be born and living and the exact places where you should be. Because he has a purpose for you. In fact, in Ephesians 2:10, it says this. It says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? When did he prepare this? Which he prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. John 15:16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go forth and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. You didn't choose God. He what? He chose you. Do you know that? And he gives us one chance on the spinning globe. One chance on the spinning globe, and it'll soon be over, folks. Did you know, as silent and as still as it might seem right now, did you know that this earth is traveling through space at 60,000 miles an hour? That's how fast this earth is whipping through space. And it's spinning at the same time. We are zipping. We don't have that much time left. Job says our life is like a breath. Psalm says, that's it. Your life is like a sigh and it's over. James says, your life is like a vapor and it dissipates. That's it. We've got one chance at this. We only go around once on this time. You will not have another chance at this life. This is it. I mean, look around. In about 40 or 50 years, this whole arena is going to be empty. We'll all be gone. I'll still be here. I'm much younger than most of you. But there's not going to be anybody left. We just don't have that much time. This is it. And God says, I'm going to give you breath. I'm going to put you where I want you to be. And I'm going to have you there just for a moment. You see, because God's plan does not end with this life. God's plan extends far beyond this life. But we have a purpose for this life. But this isn't all there is. Now, there's going to be some people who think it is. That's where you and I come in. You see, the line of eternity is much longer than what we think. If I were to explain what eternity is like, I would take a cable and run it right through that wall and shoot it towards the horizon until you could see it no more. I'd stretch it right through the arena and shoot it right out that wall until it disappeared over that horizon until you could see it no more. I'd stretch it tight right here through this place. And I'd say, that's like eternity. It just goes on forever. As far as you can see, to your right and to your left, that's eternity. Our life on the face of this earth compared to eternity, I'd take out my pen and I would make a vertical scratch on that line, just a little chit mark, about 1/64th of an inch, just a teeny little scratch. And I'd say, you see that scratch? That's about how long our life is on this earth compared with eternity. And there's going to be some people that all they have is that scratch. They think that's all there is a scratch. So they hang on to that scratch because that's all they think they have. They paint the scratch. They love the scratch. They kiss the scratch. They hold on to it. They try to elongate and stretch the scratch by using oil of old age. And they just try to get it. But all they have is a scratch. And so they live scratch lives and they have scratch hopes. They raise scratch families and they have scratch dreams. Because all they have is a scratch. But God so loved the scratch that he sent his only begotten Son. That whosoever would believe in him would not perish on the scratch, but have what? Everlasting life. And so God says, I've got to tell them because I paid the price for eternity. But they don't know that they've got anything but that scratch. That's all they think they have. So how will they know? Well, what God did in Ecclesiastes 3:11 says he put eternity in the heart of every man, even the ones that think all they have is a scratch. That is why people long for more than what that scratch can give them. Even though they dive headlong into the scratch, it ends up empty. I had a friend who was trying to break his daughter of a pacifier. And she would just suck on this pacifier, and he'd try to get her to stop sucking on this pacifier. And she wants this pacifier. I don't know why it was such a big deal. She was only 17. And he just couldn't get this pacifier away from her. But a friend of mine, that friend that was a dad, came to me one day and he said, Wayne, this morning she stopped sucking on that pacifier. I said, well, how did that happen? Did you, put chili pepper on it or something? He said, no. She just walked into the kitchen, boop, popped it out of her mouth, and she handed it to me. And she said, Daddy, it's empty. And I thought, oh, man, that's what the scratch is for so many. It's a pacifier that we suck on, but it's empty. And God is saying, I've got to tell them because I paid the price on Calvary to give them more than that scratch. So he then takes that message and he puts it in your heart, in your heart, in your heart, in your heart. And he says, there's a bunch of people that need to know, and it's really important. So I'm going to ask you to be a part of my message and conveying the good news through whatever you're doing. You've got to tell them. You've got to tell them. Because otherwise, how will they know? They'll die on the scratch. You see, the only reason God saved you was not just to get you into heaven. Because if the only reason God saved you was to get you into heaven, then as soon as you would have said yes to Jesus Christ, he would have killed you. Isn't that right? Yeah, because you're saved, might as well get you into heaven. No use you hanging around here and taking up room. But no, he saved you. He put a message on your heart and he put us back on this earth for our brief stay. And he said, now remember, I have a purpose for you, because there's a bunch of people who don't know that they have anything beyond the scratch. And he put us back on the scratch and he said, oh, tell them, you don't have that much time, but tell them. And he put us back on the scratch for just a brief stay. There was once a Christian nurse who was praying for this man who was in intensive care, and he was only about 50 some years old, but yet all of his vital signs were dropping rapidly as if he were dying, and they couldn't figure out why. And this nurse made no bones about it. She said, I'm going to pray for you because you're too young to die. You shouldn't be dying. And this is a bitter man. He looked up at the nurse and he said, just let me die. I don't want to live. I don't have anything to live for. She said, yes, you do. God created you for a purpose. You haven't met it yet. And I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray that you don't die. She said, stop praying for me. Leave me alone. Well, she prayed. And she prayed every day. 3 days went by. By the fourth evening, his vital signs were so low and his blood pressure was so low that everyone expected there to be an empty bed the next morning, that he wouldn't make it through the night. And so that night she prayed more fervently than normal. And he'd look up as he would open his eyes and he'd say, stop praying for me. She'd look up and she said, shut up. And she'd pray. Well, that evening, she went home, almost herself expecting to come back the next day to work to find only an empty bed. But to her surprise, when she returned the next day, here he was sitting up in bed having breakfast. Her eyes must have been wide as saucers, because when she entered the room, he said, you're surprised, aren't you? You thought I'd be dead. She said, well, frankly, to tell you the truth, I kind of did. He said, yeah, me too. But he said, you know what? Your prayers healed me. She said, no, my prayers didn't heal you, sir. God healed you. And now it's your responsibility to find out why. God saved you. Now it's your responsibility to find out why. You see, you must never forget the very reason why God brought you salvation. It wasn't just to get you into heaven. It wasn't just to have you be a part of a church and just kind of exist for a while, have a few Bible studies and die. There is a much more eternal purpose at hand, because there's people on the scratch that think that's all they have. And you will be the only Jesus many people will ever see. You will be the only Bible many people will ever read. And so he said, tell them. And by the way, he said, don't forget who you are. I'm going to put you back on the scratch. I'm going to put you back down there on that earth. It's only a brief time. Don't forget who you are. It's going to be easy to forget, but don't forget. And he put us back on the spinning globe for just a few more spins. You see, Israel had a problem of forgetting, didn't they? They kept forgetting who they were. And God would say to them, when you get into the promised land, don't forget who your God is. Don't forget what your purpose is. Don't blend into the surrounding nations. And oh, Israel forgot again and again. They lost their identity. Man, it should scare us to death to forget what we are supposed to be and forget our identity. That happened to my son when he was about 16 years old. He and two friends found a sloping hill and an empty 55-gallon drum. Now, when you have it, empty 55-gallon drum and a sloping hill, that spells trouble. The very first one to volunteer his life to get into the 55-gallon barrel, roll down the hill, was none other than my son, Aaron. He gets that courage from his mother. Well, this barrel took off with a slow lope, and then it picked up speed, and then it began bouncing end over end, warp speed, heading down towards the end of this ravine. Somewhere along the line, he hit his head up against the side of that 55-gallon barrel. Bang! And when it reached the end, he rolled out unconscious. I get a call at work. One of his friends, who's now on staff, I won't tell you his name, but his initials are David Hyme. And I get this call. I'm at work.
Pastor Wayne, come home. Aaron can't remember a thing.
Click. I am speeding home, and when I get home, Aaron has this amnesia. He's crying for a 16-year-old kid, kind of strapping kid. He's crying. And I said, Aaron, what's going on? And they told me about this ordeal. I thought, oh, man. And he said,
Dad, I can't remember a thing. I don't know.
And so I take him in the car and rush him down to the emergency room. And all the way down, I said, Aaron, no, it's just a temporary amnesia. You hit your head.
Dad, no, I won't be able to remember a thing.
I said, it's only temporary. You'll get it back. Don't worry. But we'll take you in. We'll do an x-ray. So we took him there to the, all of us went to the emergency room, his two cohorts as well. And so we take him to the emergency room. The doctor goes in and they do a full x-ray of his brain to see if there's any bruise or anything. And the doctor came back and said, no, we haven't found anything at all. And I thought, well, I know that. There's nothing in there. You're not telling me anything new, doctor. In fact, I said to the doctor, why don't you, these two guys, could you take them in and x-ray their brains too to see? You know, there might be a little in each to make up like one brain in all three of these guys. So after that was done, the doctor said, no, it's temporary amnesia and it'll come back again. So I said, see, Aaron? But you know, I had never seen anyone so afraid when they couldn't remember who they were. And I thought later, that should be us when we forget who God has created us to be. And sure enough, the day his memory came back. Now you'd say, well, Wayne, how do you know his memory would come back? I'll let you figure that out yourself. I went through the same thing when I was... But God says, don't forget who you are. And it should scare us. So God puts us back on this little spinning globe. And he says, but before I put you back, don't forget. Don't forget who you are. Story of a rabbi in a Russian camp. So despondent and discouraged about his ministry that he wanders off into the chilly night in the wintertime. And so discouraged was he that he inadvertently walks into a Russian compound that was off limits to civilians. Just then, the silence of the night was broken by the bark of a Russian soldier brandishing a rifle. And he says to this rabbi and snaps him to attention. He said, hey, who are you and what are you doing here? And the rabbi said, excuse me? I said, who are you and what are you doing here? The rabbi said, how much do they pay you every day? He said, what does that have to do with this? The rabbi said, I will pay you the same amount every day if you will ask me that question each morning. Who are you and what are you doing here? You see, God, when he puts us back on that globe, he says, now don't forget who you are. Now you've got to tell them because some have only a spin or two left. And they live right down the road from you. So please don't forget who you are. And I'm going to put you back on this earth. I'm going to put you back on this earth. And I'm going to put you back. I'm going to put all of you back. And each of you has a message in his or her heart about the good news. And you're going to be like salt all over the world. Let your light so shine before men so that they'll see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You are the light of the world. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a peck measure, but he puts it on a lampstand so that all will see. You are the salt of the earth. Only don't let your salt lose its savor. Because once it loses its savor, you'll be good for nothing except to be trampled underfoot. So, if you're being trampled underfoot, don't forget who you are, because you may have. Don't lose your savor, for you're the salt of the earth.
You have just heard part one of a message entitled, You Only Go Around Once, by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. For Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord, and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves? That place is New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.